You can't change the problems from the same level of thinking or the same level of consciousness in which the problems were created.
Welcome back, my fellow Fit Food Junkies. I am so excited for this episode today with Danielle Ryan Baroda. She is a national educator and a key player in the worldwide mushroom movement. Yes, I said mushrooms. We're going to learn about mushrooms today and mycology. Mycology is a branch of biology concerned with the study of fungi. I told Danielle I want to live till 100 plus and I want to live a life full of longevity and health and strength and all the things that we all want, right? So she told me the top foods and adaptogens that I need to eat to live a long, healthy, strong life. She is a registered herbalist of the American Herbalist Guild, certified holistic nutritionist, instructor of mycology, and national educator of Four Sigmatic. Danielle is teaching the world about the importance of a life on functional mushrooms. She studied for many years in Asia, and then she formalized her education in holistic medicine. She opened her own private practice where she worked with hundreds of clients, specializing in functional mushroom-based treatment for individuals with autoimmune conditions and chronic illness. She was invited to become the instructor of mycology at CSCH, where she still teaches. Danielle brings her passion and expertise in herbal medicine, clinical practice, teaching, formulation, and her deep love for fungi to everything she does. This is a quite unique episode, and the really cool thing is I have interviewed Danielle on my podcast before. She is the only person I have had on my podcast twice, and I think this is such an interesting topic. There's so much to learn, to know, to be educated on, and we couldn't get it all in one episode last time. So I'm excited to welcome back Danielle.
I never thought I'd dedicate my life to mushrooms, and yet here we are. And when I started working with fungi and teaching mycology, they were not cool. This was not a trendy thing. And in the past couple years, they've really exploded. It's an amazing time to be talking about it. And essentially my background, there's all these different paths that when I look back, there was fungi or mycelium or mushroom medicine kind of woven through all of these different chapters. And it's only in hindsight that you're like, oh, hindsight is 2020. I see where this was taking me. But, you know, my big roots come from environmentalism. I've been a plant-based eater since I was a little girl, and I have a big passion for organic agriculture and seed saving. And I've worked as a permaculture designer, as doing like large-scale industrial composting. I've been in big activist circles and speaking at things, keynote speaking at big conferences and protesting. And, you know, it was kind of this big hype of like, the world is in a critical place and I need to use my voice really loudly to shake things up. And it was only when I moved to Asia. So when I finished my undergraduate degree, I moved to Southeast Asia and lived there for 3 years. And everything kind of flipped on its head in that chapter. I started looking within and reading a lot of spiritual texts, and Ram Dass was one of my Bibles out there, if you've read Be Here Now. And there was this quote that stuck with me, and it kind of was this catalyst that shifted everything. And it said, Ram Dass said it, but Einstein actually had said it previously in a different way. And it said, you can't change the problems from the same level of thinking or the same level of consciousness in which the problems were created. And so I realized I had just been fighting against, you know, I was like, there's all these problems. And so I'm going to be louder, or I'm going to, you know, every house I would go in, I'd like paste landfill on the trash cans. And it was creating this strong sense of animosity and more of the same energy in which these problems originated from. And so I ended up living with Hill Tribe Villages, leading high school kids on these backpacking courses. My course was Come With Nothing, Go Home Rich, for 3 years. And it was a really humbling experience, you know, no running water, no toilet paper, you forage for all your food, all of your medicine, and a really internal time. And in Asia, mushrooms are very alive and well. They don't have the same mycophobia as we do here in the Western world, or at least that we used to. It inspired me to move back to the States and go to grad school for herbal medicine. I opened a private practice. No idea who was going to show up at my door. It was people that were really sick, you know, autoimmunity, chronic illness, basically ailments that the Western world said, this doesn't exist or we don't have a medicine to treat you. We can talk about why this was, but I started focusing my practice. I would make individual formulas, individual medicine for every client I saw, which is a big part of my belief system, bio-individuality, and every person needs a different medicine to thrive. But I started focusing on functional mushroom-based treatment. It's the opposite of a Band-Aid. What I started seeing was, even though people were like, hey, I have headaches, or I have insomnia, or my gut is all messed up, I haven't experienced these rashes, my hair is falling out, whatever the kind of soup of symptoms they came to me with, we would really start working with the mushrooms as this initial kind of root-based approach. And what started happening was this vitality, the chi, whatever word you want to use, began to be raised, to come alive again. And there's a few reasons why this is happening. You know, the functional mushrooms are working on our gut health. They're really prone to gut and immunity. Of course, 70% of our immune cells live within our gut, so interconnected. But the gut, the immune system, our liver health, right, being these really bitter, bitter substances, they're working on our liver and detoxification processes. And it was really incredible. You know, these symptoms that people were like, why are you giving me this mushroom? It has nothing to do with what I'm telling you is wrong. It just started to shift the way that my clients were looking at their health. And it was like, okay, maybe I don't need to get an herb or a medicine, whatever it might be, whether it's in a bottle or if it's in the form of a weird root or a, you know, random mushroom to treat my ailment. But instead, what's going on that's causing that symptom to arise in the first place? Anyways, I fell in love with the power of functional mushrooms and was like, why aren't these being used in more places and more accessible to people? And so almost 5 years ago, I joined forces with Four Sigmatic, which at the time was one of the only functional mushroom brands that was using the mushrooms in the ancient way. So in the way that I saw first person living out in Asia, the way that herbalists have been using them for thousands of years, like really using them in the form nature intended is kind of the summation.
I love that whole side of functional medicine. I think it's the future. And I think it's really also longevity, right? Like that's the key to longevity and making people live longer and feel better on the inside out. Was there one specific case or a patient that you ever took care of that really stuck out to you that you were like, okay, this is why I'm doing what I do?
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I'm going to tell a story that is not involved with a mushroom right away. It's another adaptogen. So there's other plants and adaptogens I obviously would work with, although fungi were typically the kind of front runner of the formulations. And I'll mention too, it wasn't just the herbal medicine. And even today, I don't think it's, you know, just the mushrooms or just the herbs. I do take a holistic approach when working with clients. So that includes diet is so huge, so important, as well as, you know, other lifestyle practices. So whether that's the water you're drinking or the environment you're exposed to or how much you're moving and sleeping. But I had this one individual who came to me and he said, hey, I have 6 months. He was a young male and he was on a pretty intense immunosuppressant for a diagnosed autoimmune condition. And that's the very common Western approach, right? In an autoimmune state, you have overactive immune cell productivity. The response is, from a Western pharmaceutical perspective, let's tamper that immune system so it's not overactive, which can be really dangerous. However, what happens when we suppress this immune activity is the body then becomes very vulnerable, right? So any antigen this person's exposed to, they're getting sick all the time. And they said, the state of my intestines is so inflamed that if I don't turn things around within the next 6 months, I am going to have to go on another medication that is so severely immunosuppressant that I don't remember the percentage, but a high percentage, and it might have changed, of young men who go on this medication with his symptoms develop a form of cancer within a number of years. They have no immunity, right, to be able to combat that. So it was a sensitive case, and really unique, you know, in my practice. I'm like, cool, let's go. There were several things that we started with, one of which, you know, we always have to meet people where they're at. Part of that is doing things that you are able to do and that you're able to commit to routinely. And so a lot of times it starts really small, like increasing water consumption, adding before subtracting. So adding, you know, different nutrient dense foods. And then you kind of develop this sense of like, oh, I can do this, right? I can bring, you know, more berries into my week, or I can increase or change my water source from a Brita filter to a spring water, right? I can do these small things, and you gain that confidence. And so after a few weeks is typically when I'll start to bring in the herbal medicine component. The herb that shone in this situation was turmeric root, which a lot of people don't know is an adaptogen, or I argue that it is an adaptogen in the new book. You know, it's gained so much popularity over the last few years, but really seeing the use case of when you take a high potent organic turmeric extract, always combined with black pepper to increase the potency, the power of the anti-inflammatory activity it can have specifically within the gut in such a short amount of time was truly mind-blowing, even for me. So, you know, we were able to reverse a lot of his symptoms within that 6 month period. He didn't end up having to go on that additional medication.
Just through the turmeric and black pepper?
There were other things involved in the herbal formula. That was like the key, again. So when I'm making a formula, there is often like the key ingredient that I want to be forward with. So, okay, we really want the properties of the turmeric, but then part of it is, and really this is why I think bio-individual medicine making works so well, is we have to take into account that person's body type. In the Western vitalist tradition, which is the type of herbal medicine that I was trained in practice, there's four different body types, or we call them constitutions. And so beyond that initial functional mushroom or adaptogen, or in this case, that root that we were trying to get into the person's body, there's often 3 to 7 other ingredients that are either, they have several different kind of purposes, one of which is to synergize with that person's body. So let me like try to break this down. If someone has these four body types, range on the spectrum of temperature and moisture. So you can either be on the range of hot, cold, or moist, dry. So this is relating to the elements. This is nothing new. This is seen in Ayurveda. It's seen in traditional Chinese medicine and pretty much all folk medicine traditions around the world. Western medicine is one of the only, you know, it's the newest system of medicine that doesn't recognize that bodies are, that we have the elements within us, and based on where we're living and the foods that we're eating, that we are going to express being either warmer, colder, moister, or drier. But plants and mushrooms also have an energetic profile. And some are more obvious. We think of, so let's give examples, like a very moist plant is aloe vera. Right? We know that. You see it. We call it mucilaginous. It's like dripping. It's oozing, versus a really dry plant, or, you know, we could do this with mushrooms too, but is turmeric. It's in the ginger family. This is really drying. And then same thing with hot and cold, right? So we have like cayenne pepper is a really hot plant medicine, versus like a lot of our mints are really cooling. So when we can kind of shift the way that we think about working with our body, it changes from, okay, I have a symptom and this is good for that symptom. Like I have a headache. There's a plant called feverfew that's really known to be good for headaches. But instead of looking at it that way, it's like, okay, I have a headache. What, understanding your body type, your constitution, and then understanding, okay, yeah, feverfew might be a beneficial herb for you, but then how can we create a formula around it that will actually synergize with your body so you can use the compounds of the feverfew and have it work in your system while balancing these other energetic pieces of your body.
So it's almost like you're trying to create balance for everyone that you work with. So let's say I come in and I have dry skin and I'm always cold. So are you going to give me recommendations of the warm foods and the moist foods for me to eat, as well as some kind of a adaptogen?
I would say, why are you freezing all the time? What foods are you eating? Right? Why is your body in this state of being overly cool? You know, what kind of environment are you exposed to? What kind of exercise are you doing? You know, is it changing your constitution? And the goal I'll mention as well is not to have everything in balance, right? So it's not all of us have a more natural, we don't have a word for it in Western herbalism. In Ayurveda, you know, I studied in India for many years, and in Ayurveda, it's your Prakriti dosha. So it's the dosha or your body type is assigned to you before you even come into this world, right? So it's in the womb. And we have all of the elements, the doshas, the constitutions within us at differing ranges, you know? So it's not like we want to level set all of them. It's that we want to get back to what's balanced for us, right? So what our natural state is, as opposed to, being so far from kind of our own path, our own guide. We're not trying to balance everything, but we're trying to get you into your state of where you're most in alignment.
The main part of Eastern medicine, it's not a one size fits all approach, right? It's a very individualized approach. Are there certain foods that you're like, everyone should be having this?
This is a great question. There's several things that come to mind. One, I think we could all increase the spice quantity in our diets. So spices are such a powerful way to ingest plant medicine. Often, you know, people don't realize like, oh, I don't have any herbal medicine in my house. And I first go to their spice cabinet. I'm like, you actually have mint here, and you have oregano, and you have cayenne pepper, and you have ginger, and you have turmeric. And so, yeah, absolutely increasing your spice load. And we see countries that do use a lot of spices, the beneficial effects on health. So that's like such an easy thing that all of us can do. Also, what we are seeing more from a gut health perspective is it's not just that you're eating, you know, a clean diet repeatedly. It's about the diversity of foods that you're incorporating into your diet. Everything starts in our gut. I mean, this is one of the first things we do. So, increasing the spices would be easy. And then increasing the number of plants and fungi. So start experimenting, like try shiitake, try oyster. There's much different mushrooms popping up.
Is there the best one? Like sometimes I'll throw mushrooms in my eggs. Like, is there a better one to add?
Culinarily, shiitake is the functional mushroom that doubles as a functional mushroom. So shiitake is amazing for its liver and detoxification benefits. So amazing for skin health.
After a Saturday night, you want to get shiitake mushrooms in the morning.
Shiitake mushroom scramble. Maitake is another one that doubles as a culinary as well as functional mushroom. Great for blood sugar balance as well as the immune properties. So cooking maitake, you're making a stew of it. Lion's mane, we can also find. It might be a little, it's not as common as shiitake and maitake in grocery stores, but it can be cooked and is delicious. It has like a kind of Michelin star restaurants will use it like a lobster alternative.
Okay, so I want to live till I'm 100 plus, which I'm sure you do and everyone listening. If I, hypothetically speaking, had my last chance to go into the grocery store and pick 5 spices and 5 foods or adaptogens, whatever it is, for me to have for the rest of my life, what would each of those 5 be?
Oh my gosh, this is such a fun question. I've never been asked this question before. Okay, so the first thing that came to my mind, like instant gut feeling before you even finished the question, was goji berry. There's an amazing story about goji, the oldest man supposedly that ever lived, who lived to like 238 years old and was still teaching after he was 100 years old. He was a herbalist from China. And he said that, you know, his miracle, that like how he did it was this having goji berry. So having that bright, right? We want to have those bright colors. And goji is such a powerful antioxidant. I mean, powerhouse in so many ways. Secondary, I'm going to say, I have to make a plug for reishi. If we can find, you know, a big bag of reishi slices. Reishi is also our queen of mushrooms, has names so revealed, like 10,000 year mushroom, mushroom of immortality. It's really, it has a several thousand year old tradition of being our mushroom for longevity. So using that as a decoction, as a long hot water boiled tea, or as the base for a broth daily would be amazing. We have to get a green in there. So the green that I'm going to choose today is moringa. Moringa is a powerful leaf. It grows on this big tree. All different parts of the tree are used in India and in Africa. And it's actually so nutrient dense that it's used as a meal replacement, like nutrient supplement for undernourished children in developing countries. So it has this incredible range of amino acids, of vitamins, of minerals, as well as these nanonutrients that are so critical for longevity. It's a leaf, so you can make a tea of it, but you can also use it. One of my favorite ways to use a lot of a green is by making pestos. People associate pesto with basil, but pesto actually just means paste. So you can make a pesto with any green. This is a great way to sneak medicinal herbs into your cooking as well. So using dandelion green pesto, I will make pestos with like tons of organic spinach. But moringa would be a great thing if you could have access to fresh leaves. If not, you can use dried leaves and put them on top of, you know, different bowls, whether it's like a salad or a rice bowl or whatever makes sense in your life. As well as, yeah, making a tea is a great way to consume it as well. I always like to say, you know, I've probably told you this before, but the medicine doesn't work if you don't take it. So I'm all about like, what works for you? What are you going to do? If you've never made a pesto before, don't start making a pesto. You know, if you make a smoothie and you throw powders in there, perfect. A moringa powder would be awesome. Yeah. If you make, you know, energy balls with nut butters and dates and whatever, and you take those pre or post workout, like add an extra adaptogenic powder in that, like make it work for you, because consistency is compliance, right? That's where we're going to see these working, when you start incorporating them and using them daily. Okay, the fourth has to be cacao. A lot of us don't think about cacao as an adaptogen. I love, love, love cacao. Cacao on its own is the most phytochemically complex food on the planet. It has the most identified phytonutrients of any other food that exists. Real cacao, like that bitter, instead of coffee in the mornings, I've been making a hot cacao, like, and you can add cinnamon, make it taste like so amazing. But, you know, if you love the taste of cacao, like,
not the bitterness, but I feel like anytime I add, I don't know, like a little cacao to my smoothie, or like, I love chocolate, more chocolate, the better. And anytime I see anything with cacao in it, it tastes great.
100%. I couldn't agree more. I'm obsessed with cacao. And I actually tell, there's three stories in the book of these three women that lived, they were centenarians. So one of them lived, you know, well into like 120, 115, over 100, all from different parts of the world. It was a Mexican, all women. There was a Mexican woman, an Italian woman, a French woman. And they, upon asking, you know, what their secret was to living this long life, all three of them said cacao, said chocolate. And definitely, and you know, there's a difference today, huge difference between the processed Nestle type chocolate and real unrefined cacao. So make sure you're getting cacao, but, such a powerhouse. I always have to mention that it's, one of our richest natural food sources is magnesium, which is so vital. Magnesium is the number one nutrient deficiency in the American diet. And when I think about how stressed we are, it just, it's like almost comical. It's like we're missing the nutrient that's allowing our bodies to relax on a cellular level. Of course, we're wound up and we're stressed. Like, we need that magnesium. And it's unfortunately not present in a lot of our soils anymore. And so getting foods that contain really high amounts of magnesium is so critical, or of course, supplementation. But okay, goji, reishi, moringa, cacao. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to live till 100 if we can bring these four in every day. The last, oh my gosh. So we have a berry, we have a bean, we have a mushroom, and we have a leaf. I think what we really need to bring in is a root. And there's a couple different roots we could choose from. I think to keep with, I'm looking like to create the rainbow with this as well. I am going to choose turmeric for this. It was like ginseng, ashwagandha, turmeric. We're kind of like the runners up. But we have like the bright vibrancy of that red goji berry. We have the reishi mushroom components and that bitterness from the polysaccharides and terpenes. We have all of these amino acids and nutritive profiles in our moringa. We have that deep black color. Black foods are so important from our cacao. And so to round it out, we're going to use a turmeric root that's full of polyphenols and a whole different range of antioxidants that are going to support inflammation, which is just inevitable, especially in today's world and coming with stress and all of the environmental stressors we're exposed to that are creating inflammation and inflammatory states in our body. So those would be my handful on one hand. Those are the five.
You mentioned food and adaptogen not being synonymous. Can you explain the difference of a food and an adaptogen?
There's always overlap. You know, a lot of these adaptogens, I guess, can be eaten. Like cacao can be eaten, is often considered a food, but it's also an adaptogen. But the adaptogen umbrella, these are there's about 30 of them. I talk about 21 in the book. What makes them, you know, fit within this category are there's three primary principles that, you know, I dive deep in the book, but they're all safe to use every day. So they're more tonics as opposed to symptom treatments. They're all nonspecific. So they're not treating one area of the body, right? They're not directly working on our headache or on our gut. They're actually, it's like a bath working in and filling multiple systems of the body simultaneously. And then they all have this balancing component. They are helping our bodies find a state of homeostasis. Often they're working on our HPA axis. And then what also kind of places them in this adaptogen category is they have the clinical research to support their denoted benefits.
What's the HPA axis?
Hypothalamus pituitary adrenal. So this is really when we think about our endocrine system, which is our hormonal system, right? We are constantly functioning. When we think about stress, this is the internal place in which stress is happening, right? So we have these three sources within our body that are signaling to each other and releasing hormones, telling our bodies that there's a high amount of cortisol, we're really stressed, or there's a lot of adrenaline in our system. And this HPA axis can be taxed. This is what's happening in today's world, is we are so overstressed. We're basically pulling from this system, and we are literally pumping all of these critical hormones into our bloodstream at an unprecedented rate. And then what happens is they're exhausted. And that's what we refer to as adrenal fatigue. And so in order to repair, think of like feeding this system of our body, it requires a lot of nutrients, right? Like when we're stressed, one of the first things that our body uses more of is vitamin C. People are like, I'm really stressed and then I get sick. So it's like when we're deficient in that vitamin C, because we're so stressed, that we're more prone to, you know, that antigen taking hold in our body. Replenishing these systems and nourishing these systems through phytocomplexity of our adaptogens is one of the quickest way, which seems ironic. We're like, we got to take these for the long haul, but they're such powerhouses that people actually do notice in a couple weeks that their stress is lower and they're able to combat what typically, you know, would spike up their system and they'd be totally on this roller coaster. With the support of adaptogens on board, they can handle those same situations without being so triggered, right? So it gives us this sense of being able to be more efficient, be more resilient, even if the same stressors are coming our way.
The main thing is cortisol, right? Cortisol is your stress hormone and having to do with your adrenals. So when that gets high, that's not good. And then people feel like they need to take medicine or they need to go to drugs or alcohol to bring their stress down. What are some, whether it's natural substances, adaptogens, on the functional medicine side, mushrooms, if I'm looking to focus on kind of balancing my adrenals to bring my stress down, and then also try to just focus more in general, stay more alert. I'm sure those are kind of two-sided questions there.
Yeah, great question. I just want to clarify, cortisol isn't bad. It's actually incredibly important. We just have to have cortisol spikes at the right time of day. So when we wake up in the morning, cortisol is pumping through our system. We should have highest cortisol in the morning. That's actually what gets us out of bed. And our body says, oh, it's time to start the day. And then we should have the lowest cortisol in our system in the evening. And that's part of what's triggering our body to say, oh, it's time to rest. And so it's not as if we have to get rid of it, but how can we get it to react and release at the right times so we can be more in this regulated rhythm?
I've been hearing a lot lately that if you drink coffee, have it a couple hours later and make sure you have it after you have food, so those your cortisol level stays at an optimal level in the mornings.
And adding adaptogens into your morning coffee is one of the best ways to balance that as well.
What adaptogens?
Yeah. So when we think of adaptogens as a category, all of them are helping our bodies adapt to stressors, right? So really, you know, there aren't that many of them. And it really comes down to what's right for your body, what's right for your system. You know, if you really want to target that cognitive focus, I would actually say, let's look at why you're not focusing, you know, instead of, I could say, yeah, there's things like, you know, lion's mane and gota cola that are awesome for the brain, but why aren't you focusing? And oftentimes it is that stress. And then we look at, you know, well, are you waking up with energy, you know, and with that acute mind? If not, are you getting enough sleep? You know? And so I think one of the first things I would recommend is, let's ensure that your nervous system is properly supported the night before so that you can start to wake up with the energy you need. One of the easiest, you know, adaptogens we can take to start supporting our sleep and our stress is ashwagandha. It's probably why it's gained such popularity. Its Latin name, Withania somnifera. Somnifera actually is related to sleep, right? And so, boiling the root or having an ashwagandha tea before bed for a couple weeks consistently, I would do it for 2 or 3 weeks, would be my first suggestion, which seems, you know, counterintuitive. It's not like this is a focus pill, but let's relax your nervous system. Let's increase your sleep quantity and quality so that ideally you wake up, you don't need to take an extra thing to focus, but that your body starts to activate the neurons and the neurotransmitters that you need that for some reason you're, you know, aren't firing as much as you're wanting them to.
I always thought you're supposed to take it every day, but no, you're saying take it for a certain amount of time until your body reaches that point where it doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah. With all adaptogens, I recommend taking consistently for a couple weeks to a couple months, and then definitely taking a break. Your body, these adaptogens are powerful and they work. And so let's say, you know, you take ashwagandha to support your sleep for a couple months. Ideally, your sleep has improved. And at that point, you might not need the same amount or even that same ingredient. Perhaps there's a new thing that has arisen in your life. You know, now you're looking to, it's change of season and you want to really double down on your immune system. You know, 4 weeks on, 4 days off, or 4 months on, 4 weeks off, but really kind of make it work for your body. But yeah, always taking breaks and then switching out based on your body's changing and evolving needs.
Are there other adaptogens that you recommend for people to take, whether it's every day or for a certain period of time, to bring them to that relaxed state or take a little bit of anxiety and stress away?
Look through, start learning about these adaptogens. Go buy healing adaptogens, and really, it will be so much more powerful to, I walk through how to understand your constitution and then choose the adaptogens to start playing and experimenting with in your own life. Once you've supported the underlying issue and that root, there are kind of more brain adaptogens. Our one adaptogen that is considered a nootropic is lion's mane. So really gaining so much popularity for those cognitive benefits, supporting memory, which is awesome. So I would say, you know, if you're really wanting to start with the nootropic right away, begin with that lion's mane, and don't be surprised if you start sleeping better, or, you know, you don't get sick when someone else in your house gets sick. So be open to the secondary benefits that come with them, because they are non-specific.
I want to ask you about psychedelics. I know it's a really big thing. People are doing microdosing a lot. What are your thoughts on microdosing with shrooms?
The two big things that I'll say is it's so important to pay attention to set and setting to really honor that this is powerful medicine. And then the setting, making sure that you are in an environment where you can allow yourself to experience the benefits. I'm a big advocate of what this road can lead to, and I'm very excited about the mental health benefits down the road. Of course, I have to mention it's still federally illegal. So depending, you know, if you're in Oregon or now after last week, if you're in Colorado, these ethnogenic plants, fungi, are starting to reach decriminalization status, which is so exciting. I think we're at the very beginning of the potential benefits that we can see.
So interesting. Tell me about your book, and how can people get your book?
Yes. So the book is Healing Adaptogens, the definitive guide to using super herbs and mushrooms for your body's restoration, defense, and performance, co-authored with our founder of Four Sigmatic Tarot, Iso Coppola. And it's available on ebook, as it's a hardcover, as well as audiobook. It's available anywhere books are sold. So you can go to Amazon is one of the easiest, but also Barnes and Noble and Booktopia. So the kind of central hub for all things healing adaptogens is healingadaptogens.com.
I am so excited. Thank you for sending it to me. I got it in the mail today and I cannot wait to start it. And I want to ask you my last and final question. At Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. Danielle, what are you addicted to?
The first thing that comes to mind is cacao. I'm like, what woman isn't addicted to cacao? But yeah, I mean, if they were to choose an adaptogen that I like couldn't live without on a daily basis, it would be cacao. I carry it everywhere I go. And something that is, you know, you don't have to buy, that's available to all of us, that I would say is, you know, a daily addiction sounds so funny in this context, but, you know, something that you can do and is free, is breath work. So different types of breath work practices have been really profound in my life the last couple years.
How can people connect with you?
You can find me at Danielle Ryan Broida on social, or my website is Danielle Ryan Wellness. And then the brand that I work with and for is at Four Sigmatic on social channels, or foursigmatic.com.
Check it out. Love the brand so much. And it already has mixes kind of ready to go with kind of different feelings that you want, like let's say decrease stress or focus more. They already have the blends ready for you. And I love Four Sigmatic. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on today. It was such a treat to have you back. I learned so much and I cannot wait to read your book and learn even more.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. Connect with Danielle at Danielle Ryan Broda, and also check out Four Sigmatic. I'm a huge fan of Four Sigmatic. Danielle actually turned me onto the company, and they've always been so well known. But until I actually tried it, I could not believe my eyes of truly how much it has helped me. They say that it's nothing fake and it's always whole ingredients with delicious flavors, helping with focus, energy, and mood. They have ingredients clinically proven to help give your day a boost. You don't have to do the work. They already create the adaptogens made out of mushrooms and other amazing superfoods for you. I personally take the focus one in the morning. Danielle was so sweet to gift it to me. I put the focus one in my coffee every morning. I am not just saying this. I cannot believe my eyes of how much it actually helped me. The fact that it's something natural that I can have and something that's healthy for me. And I was able to focus and be so much more alert. So now I take that every morning and it's a part of my daily routine. And I'm honestly just so grateful for this adaptogen. I have a discount code for 15% off from Four Sigmatic. It's Fit Food, all capitalized. That's FITFOOD to receive 15% off products at Four Sigmatic. Get back to me, and I'm excited to see how they affect your mood, energy, and all the things. Thank you guys for joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.